President Trump meets with China's top trade negotiator today.
The environment is better than we thought it would be.
And introducing America's perfect counties.
So in the last 10 presidential elections, they've sided with the winner.
Plus, there's less than a week before third quarter earnings season kicks off. We'll have what to expect. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at why 19 counties have been able to correctly choose the winner in the past 10 presidential elections, here's what you missed. During his first campaign rally since the House launched its impeachment probe, President Trump made Joe Biden's son, Hunter, a target.
Joe's son, Hunter, got thrown out of the Navy, and then he became a genius on Wall Street in about 2 days. By the way, whatever happened to Hunter? Where the hell is he?
The president also took aim at the former vice president and sought to discredit the whistleblower who raised concerns about President Trump's July phone call with Ukraine's president. Separately, we're reporting that NBC Universal said it won't continue to air a Trump re-election campaign ad on any of its cable networks unless changes are made to the spot. Suzanne Vranitza has more.
Well, there's been this controversy over this ad that President Trump's re-election campaign put out last week. It has a claim in it which basically says Joe Biden promised Ukraine $1 billion to fire a prosecutor who was looking into the gas company that his son was involved in. It also had images of a lot of media cable channel hosts calling those people media lapdogs. Last week, CNN decided to reject the ad and would not air it at all.
A Trump campaign spokesperson said the campaign's ads are 100% accurate. But Suzanne says not everyone has rejected the ad.
What's interesting about this is that there's been a lot of misinformation out there. There are actually laws in place, like TV networks, at least on the broadcast side, actually have to air campaign ads from a political campaign because they are regulated by the FCC. So NBC Universal is not going to air this on their cable, but most network on the broadcast side must air it. That is the law. And in fact, even when there are false claims in an ad, it has to go through.
Facebook and other social media sites have also continued to run a nearly identical ad even after requests from the Biden campaign to take it down. A Facebook spokesperson said the ad wasn't eligible for fact-checking because President Trump is a candidate. And the Nike Oregon project is being shut down. This was Nike's effort to restore the primacy of American distance running. It's been around for nearly 2 decades. But 10 days ago, the project's head coach, Alberto Salazar, was given a 4-year ban by the Anti-Doping Agency for doping conduct. Nike said while the panel found that there was no orchestrated doping, Mr. Salazar can't coach while the appeal is pending and the situation had become distracting. This is a notable turn of events for Nike, which is a company born out of distance running. It was founded in 1964 when Phil Knight, a former University of Oregon middle distance runner, teamed up with Oregon's coach, Bill Bowerman. Now, our main story this morning, meet America's perfect counties. They've correctly chosen the winner of the past 10 presidential elections. The question, of course, is if they'll once again prove to be a bellwether for the 2020 election. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from John McCormick.
John, first of all, how many perfect counties are we talking about?
Yeah, there's only 19 of them, which is well less than 1% of all the counties in the U.S., so it's a pretty small group.
What characteristics mark a perfect county?
Well, as you mentioned, these are places that have voted with the winner since Ronald Reagan. So in the last 10 presidential elections, they've sided with the winner. Sometimes those outcomes have been very close. They've been very narrow victories. Other times they're pretty widespread. We are seeing in some counties in Wisconsin in 2016 where President Trump really moved the marker and had some very large wins. But my colleague and I, Ken Thomas and I, we visited 4 of these 19 counties to sort of try to take the pulse of the electorate about a little bit more than a year before the 2020 election. And one thing that we found in terms of demographics was most of these counties have median household incomes below the national average. They tend to be places that are whiter and less diverse than the nation as a whole. And they also tend to be places where educational attainment tends to be lower. So Many of them are in rural or ex-urban areas, but they're places that are going to be very important to President Trump as he tries to hold on to the White House in 2020. On the flip side, they'll also be important places for the Democrats to try to, at least knock down his margins from 2016.
You and Ken Thomas visited four such counties across the U.S., and you spoke with dozens of voters to understand what makes them so politically nimble and to get a sense of the mood ahead of the 2020 election. Pick a county or two and tell us what was on voters' minds.
Yeah, so I spent several days in Richland County, Wisconsin, and it's a very picturesque county, a lot of dairy farmers, but also some tourism that goes on there, some small manufacturing. The economy is very good. I mean, people are generally happy with the economy and give President Trump strong marks. The unemployment rate is, well below 3%. And, basically they're desperate for workers. But I did speak with one dairy farming couple. They run the largest dairy farm in Richland County. And they both voted for President Trump, but they've been frustrated, especially when it comes to the trade wars. They say they are tempted to vote for a Democrat if the trade fights aren't resolved by the 2020 election.
And you write that political scientists are quick to point out that there's no perfect presidential bellwether. It's like an advertisement for picking stocks. Past success in picking a winner doesn't promise accuracy in the future.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Some of these counties do go back even further than Reagan. We traced a few of them back into the 1950s. They've been picking the president correctly that far back. But we felt like Ronald Reagan and sort of the modern political era in 1980 was a good starting point. And that brought us to the total of the 19 counties.
But as you said before, these counties may offer lessons for the 2020 presidential election, illustrating the types of places President Trump would likely need to win again in order to keep the White House.
Yeah, for sure. And Democrats, even if they can't win back some of these counties, they're going to need to sort of reduce his margins. I think I mentioned earlier a county in Wisconsin where the president won by 26 percentage points. It's not a big county, but that is a place where if you're going to win the state of Wisconsin, you probably want to try to reduce the president's margins in a place like that, at least by a little bit.
You can find our full analysis up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We've got less than a week to go until third quarter earnings season kicks off. And analysts, well, they're predicting a pretty mediocre performance. According to FactSet, they expect that companies in the S&P 500 will report a 4.5% drop in profits compared to the same time last year. Here's Paul Davies with more.
Everyone is waiting to see exactly what is going to undermine the performance of the stock market, right? I mean, it's still riding high, even though the economy appears to have been slowing in many other ways. So these sort of forecasts for earnings are a bit worrying. However, investor relations people at big companies are paid to do a certain job, and that is to ensure that their companies generally do better than expected. And actually, we see that a lot of the time. About 75% of companies tend to beat expectations. So earnings expectations are managed down, and then a lot of companies manage to beat them. So on average, we often see companies beating expectations, or we have over the past 5 years, by nearly 5%. So we could see earnings growth in the third quarter after all.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. President Trump said he'll meet with China's top trade negotiator in Washington. Here's Will Malden with what to expect.
The environment is better than we thought it would be, frankly, because the Chinese side has agreed to come together and try to make some concessions that would be helpful to the U.S.
But Will adds that most people don't expect a big breakthrough from this meeting.
President Trump and China's Xi Jinping are set to meet in November, possibly, where there could be, more progress or more breakthroughs. We think we're some time off from any kind of major deal. But the good news is that the two sides are talking under fairly hopeful backdrop at this point, a lot better than we would have expected from the overall backdrop between the two countries.
We'll have an update on what comes out of those talks in our afternoon edition. Finally, political campaigns are tapping into a new source of data. your smartphone. Yep, that's right. We report that campaigns can now track down and segment potential voters based on the apps they use on their phones and the places they've been. In some cases, we might see ads on our phones. In others, companies can match data to a specific person, allowing campaigns to determine who gets a fundraising call or maybe a knock on the door. A lot of the way the campaigns track this information is through apps that track your location. That's generally legal as long as the apps disclose that they're doing that. But if you find the idea of campaigns targeting you less than appealing, we've got some tips on our website on how to limit location tracking. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.